handouts are in the back in the bulletin. If you didn't get one of those, be sure and do so. I'll give you a minute to digest what's on the screen before you before we begin. Our lesson this morning is entitled, We're Having Company. So let's clean up the house. My brother was about 2 years younger than I was. My sister came along later in life. She's about 8 years younger than I am. So when I was growing up, we were going to have company. You can relate to this. Mama would say, we're having company. We need to clean up the house. And she had such an easy time getting me and my brother to help her with that task. No, you know better than that. But it was like pulling teeth. I know she felt a lot of times like it's just easier to do it myself. Of course, I learned my lesson, and so now all Jeannie has to say is, help me out, and no problem, I jump right in and I do all I can. You know better than that, too. We're having company, so let's clean up the house. You've heard that before. Many jokes, of course, have been made about that, and I jumped over into something new. Yeah. All right. So many jokes have been made about that, of course, even if we've enjoyed a laugh this morning in regards to that. Yet it's something that we all generally do when company's coming. We spruce up the house, or we get the porch and the front door, all of those things that company is likely to see in better shape. Yesterday, some of us gathered and helped in sprucing things up and doing some deep cleaning. David blew off the pine needles, but to no avail. They're right back this morning, but we did some of that. We knocked some doors and other things, but we did that because our gospel meeting begins, of course, a week from today. And we want things to look as best they can for those who might be coming our way. Perhaps this morning as we think about that idea, the idea of cleaning our houses, the idea of cleaning the church building, it might well be that we need to actually clean the church. And of course, when we speak of that, we're not talking about the building, 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, Paul said, thou mayest know how thou shalt behave thyself. The house of God, which is the church of the living God, filling ground with the truth. The house of God, of course, is the church. The church, not the building, but the church, the people. And as we think about the idea of having company, we're not so much concerned about the building this morning as we are about the church. And as we examine these thoughts together, consider your own life, as I shall mine. Is there something that needs to be cleaned up, perhaps, before company comes? First, it might be the case that we need to dust. We might need to dust. Dust is the constant object of complaint, of course. Every housewife hates it. It comes from nowhere and ends up everywhere. We know how that is about dust. It collects, for the most part, on things not used. And that's the point that we want to make. Maybe some of us need to dust ourselves off. Maybe we've become dusty because of misuse in some areas in our lives. Maybe we have been out of service for some time. Or perhaps we attend faithfully, regularly, but our service is lacking. We attend, but what about every service? As we think about company coming our way for this gospel meeting, the first thing we need to ensure is that we are here ourselves. Maybe we have been in a habit of not attending Bible class or not being prompt in when we get here and other such things. Maybe we need to consider that in our lives and do some dusting. Consider our service to Christ. Maybe it's collecting dust. Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you in your life, in my life. And have I allowed my service to God to collect dust rather than being a perpetual service to him? We read in Matthew 25, 24, and 25 of the one talent man. Then he which had received the one talent said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strown. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now, talent, of course, is a piece of money. We can only imagine that in this account, when the talent was dug up, what was on it? Dust, dirt, because of misuse. The five talents, the two talents of the other individual, they weren't dusty. They were being used. Have we allowed our abilities we put that in our common thought, become dusty because of misuse. There are, of course, abundance of scripture about our service to God, 1 Corinthians 15:58. There in concluding his thoughts about the resurrection. Also, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we are abounding in the work of the Lord, one thing's certain, we won't gather dust. And that's a part of what we're studying this morning. Hebrews 5:12 to 14, Paul said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers? Have need that one teach you again, this be the first principle of the oracle of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled from the word of righteousness, he is a babe. The strong meat belongs to them who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern what's good and evil. You see, if we are maturing as Christians, we won't have dust in the cupboard, if you will. There won't be dust on aspects of our Christian life because they will be in use. Romans 12:1-2, we're to be living sacrifices. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that your body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice would, of course, imply something that's done perpetually, on a regular basis, and therefore no dust, if you will, would collect. John 9:4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is yet day, the night cometh and no man can work. We, of course, are to follow in the steps of Jesus according to the words of Peter. And we know, of course, that Jesus had no dust, if you will, when it came to doing the will of God. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Might it be the case this morning that company is coming? And we might need to take the opportunity to knock the dust off of some things in our spiritual life as we examine that together. Maybe we need the dust. But perhaps we need to sweep. Brooms, of course, come in many shapes and sizes, all for the purpose of cleaning up unwanted debris. As we think about it in those terms, perhaps there are some things lying around in our lives that need to be swept away. Maybe there's some hard feelings or grudges or wrong attitudes or maybe even some hatred in some areas that shouldn't be there. We could think of a number of things that would fill that gap. Galatians 5:19-21, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That phrase that Paul uses, and such like, would put a lot of things into that category that are not necessarily mentioned by name in this passage. And he said, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And as you examine your heart, your life as a Christian, as I examine mine, is there some debris there? That is something that's unpleasant, unwanted, that shouldn't be, that perhaps we need to sweep away. Paul continued, verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In Titus chapter 3, Paul speaks especially of the qualifications for elders, but most of the qualifications for elders would apply to each of us. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. But we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward all men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, in the name of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope. Eternal life. And so again, Paul mentions these matters that might be a part of our life to some degree. Debris, if you will, that needs to be swept away. James said in James 5:9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So it is that as company comes, perhaps there's something in our lives, some debris for which we could use the broom, so to speak, and sweep it away. Or it might well be that we have swept in a bad manner. We speak of sweeping it under the rug. Maybe there are things in your life, in your past, that have never been brought before God, and things for which repentance needs to be asked. As we examine these matters and clean up the house, if you will, as company comes, maybe there's some things that need to be swept away. Third, maybe we need the vacuum. Maybe we need the vacuum. These were once considered a luxury item, but now, of course, they're a necessity in homes that have rugs and carpets. We remember from days of old, salesmen that would come to the door and try to sell you vacuum cleaners. Of course, we've advanced far from that. But a vacuum cleaner once used to be a luxury item for a lot of people, but now it's in every household just about. And the purpose of it is to get deep down dirt ground in over time, up and out of rugs and carpets. So as we consider it from that angle, from the spiritual sense, perhaps there's some ground in, deep down filth in our lives. Among things that could be listed as gossiping and backbiting and stubbornness and other things as well. The Bible reveals some matters about those also. James 4, verse 7, James said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, that your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness, that is because of sin. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. If thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." It might be that in our lives, in our hearts, somewhere deep down, there is some dirt, some filth that needs to be removed. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, Paul said, "For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, disputes, swellings, tumults." But think about it in these terms. Let's suppose that Paul was coming Sunday morning, that he's going to be a part of this gospel meeting, and he's going to be one of our guests. Knowing as we do that Paul spoke in these languages, would we look in our lives for perhaps some deep down dirt that needs to be cleansed away? Remember King Saul and Samuel, speaking to him, 1 Samuel 15:23. "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, he also hath rejected thee from being king." There's a possibility that, like Saul, we could be rejected by God if there dwells in us some deep down dirt, if you will, that needs to be taken away. Psalm 78, verses 5 to 8, that historical psalm that we've talked about, says in verses 5 to 8, "For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, stubborn and rebellious generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God." The historian here reflects back, Asaph, in the writing of this, to his predecessor and those who had that deep down filth in their lives, so to speak, who never really cleansed themselves of that, and who passed it on to the next generation. And now they're being called upon to cleanse those things. As we think about company coming, maybe it's the case that some of us need to vacuum some things that are deep down in our lives and remove them from them. Then we find we might need to pick up the clutter. Especially with children and with pets in the house. There's constantly something that needs to be picked up. Things lying around on the floor especially prevent us from walking as we should. Who among us hasn't stepped on a toy that have children in our past or in our current lives with grandchildren and so forth? Who among us hasn't tripped over something in the night that has been put there that didn't belong there? We know our houses, we know our hallways, we know where the furniture is. And so we could pretty much walk in the darkness in our house, but that walk can be impeded by something that's there that shouldn't be. some clutter, so to speak, in our lives. And so perhaps there are things lying around in our lives that simply needs to be picked up and removed. Those impede our progress. They keep us from walking as we should. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Notice even we also should walk in newness of life. We do not need things to impede our walk as Christians. Perhaps there's some clutter in our spiritual lives that keep us from doing so. Paul said in Romans 13, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk, notice, honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in changing and wantonness, not in strife and envy. There could be some things impeding our walk as Christians, clutter in our lives, if you will. Perhaps those need to be picked up and removed before company comes. Paul said in Ephesians 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus and through good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, the walk that we as Christians are to have. Further in chapter 4, he said, this I say therefore, testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And then, of course, we remember John's word in 1 John 1:6-7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, we're impressed with the walk that we are to maintain as Christians. And that cannot be done successfully if there's clutter in our spiritual lives. Then in 2 John 6, John the Apostle of Love said, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. As we consider this, ask yourself the question, is there some clutter in my spiritual life that I should pick up before company comes? But then again, perhaps we need to fix some broken things. Sometimes it takes company coming for us to fix those things that have been lying around and needing repair, things like a piece of furniture or a lamp or something that's just not right, and yet we've avoided fixing that. But with the time when company comes, maybe those things need to be repaired. Perhaps there's some who have broken ties of fellowship which need to be repaired. Matthew 5:23-24, in Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, there rememberest that thy brother hath all against thee. Leave there thy gift at the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Here, in essence, is what Jesus is saying. There are some broken things in the lives of such an individual, or such individuals. Those broken things should be mended. Those things should be repaired. And as we've just noticed, if we walk in darkness and yet say we're walking in the light, then we are not telling the truth. What if we walk in the light, even as he is in the light? Then we enjoy fellowship with him. And so perhaps there are some things broken in our lives. You know, we sing, my stubborn will at last hath yielded. Is that true? Or are we failing to walk as we should? Is that fellowship broken by some deed in my life, or by some habit that I have, or some way in which I walk? We sing, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That we speak the truth, or sing the truth in this case, and such is not in our lives. We sing angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridle slip. Maybe there are some broken things in regards to speech that need to be repaired. How acceptable is our worship in our life, in accordance with our life? Maybe something is broken there that we need to mend before company comes. But then, maybe we need to clean out the gutters. Clean out the gutters. Gutters, of course, catch runoff and channel it in a different direction. And if the gutters get clogged, then water and trash cause problems. They get in the house and cause problems. We, perhaps many have had that experience as well. When the gutters get clogged, the water's not directed and the runoff is not determined to go where it needs to go. The river finds its way into the house and causes problems. Perhaps some have let the gutters get stopped up. Maybe we've forgotten that Christians must be separate and holy. We allow elements of the world to seep into our lives, and some do those things that abuse and harm their bodies. And this, the speech of some betray them is unfaithful to God in that regard. And gutters need to be cleaned. God's Word warns us about that. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to Him. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work of the judgment together with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Also in James 3 and verse 10, James says, out of the same mouth proceed the blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so, in essence, spiritually, if such is in our lives, the gutters have become clogged. And the runoff is not going in the direction that it should and could then cause us some problems. Think about Peter's life as an example of that, Matthew 26:33. Remember that Peter said to the Lord, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You recall, of course, that Jesus said, before the cock crows tonight, you will deny me three times. Later in verse 69, Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth or betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Immediately the cock crew. Account tells us that Jesus looked at Peter on that occasion. And just that look, of course, caused Peter to go out and weep bitterly. Here was Peter, whose faith was a great standard, of course, for us. That Peter was human. Peter made the stand, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. He issued an oath of loyalty. Lord, if every man in the world denied you or forsook you, I never would. Yet he did so. Like Peter, perhaps we took an oath to be loyal to the Lord. And maybe some have not kept that oath. Maybe the gutters have become clogged, so to speak, with our manner of life. Like Peter, maybe we've denied the Lord. So we ask ourselves the question, since company's coming, maybe we need to clean out the gutters. Well, company is indeed. And as we consider that thought, maybe our own spiritual house is somewhat a mess. Maybe there are some things that we need to remove from our lives. Clean up the spiritual house, so to speak. So we ask ourselves the question, does my spiritual house need some cleaning? Today we cleaned the building, made it nice and neat. Wish we could have rid of it, of every empty seat. We cleaned the floors and windows and swept the dust from sight. And wish we could have cleaned the church of jealousy and spite. We washed the walls and wiped the books and polished our place of worship. And wish we could have tossed from it all the idle gossip. We dusted the pulpit, straightened the pews, and wiped away all smudges. And wish we could have cleaned the church of all the long-held grudges. So as you see, we clean the building. It's ready for your church. But each of us must do our part if we're to clean the church. We're having company. If the world stands, and God wills, that's an inevitability. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll have guests in the house. We cleaned the building. It looks nice. We are ready for the arrival of company. We're about the church. That depends upon each of us. If I made that determination, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm not going to let my habits, long-standing, keep me any longer from doing the will of God. I'm not going to let those things debris up my life, clog the gutters, collect dust in the shelf. I'm going to use my life in His glory, for His glory, and in His service this morning. As we consider that, we're having company. Let's clean up the house. Are there some things in your life that need to be dusted away or swept away or otherwise cleaned? Since company's coming, it makes for an opportune time for us to do that. As you review your life, perhaps there's something that needs to be done. Maybe you need to obey the gospel. you've never done that. And if that's the case, then your life is a clutter. Your life has a lot of debris in it. Your life is covered with dust, spiritually speaking. This morning, an opportune time for you. Believe Jesus to be the Son of God. To repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him. Be baptized for the remission of sins. In doing that, everything is clean. We walk in newness of life, as we saw in Romans 6 and verse 4. And this morning, as a member of the body of Christ here, as you consider your life, maybe some things need to be cleaned up. Maybe we need to go and to God in prayer personally and ask His forgiveness. Because He, above all else, knows our lives. He knows whether or not we are what we claim to be. Maybe this morning someone has a need that others need to know about, that they might pray for you and assist you in getting your spiritual house in order, cleaning up the church, if you will. And of course, that begins with you. And we assist you this morning in cleaning up the church. Because God's coming to this time. If so, won't you come? While we stand and sing together.